Next Tuesday is the Philadelphia mayoral primary, which will likely determine the city's next mayor. Some voters are asking the candidates to create a dedicated city department for arts and culture. WHYY's Peter Crimmins looks at how Philadelphia currently funds the arts and how other cities have created robust funding streams.
Earlier this week, the Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance released a voting guide based on arts and culture. Now, at the top of the list is funding. Right now, the city does not have a dedicated funding stream for the arts. The amount of money allotted in the Philadelphia Cultural Fund is based on the vagaries of budget negotiations every year. It can range from as much as $5.5 million, which it is now, or as little as nothing, which it has been in the past. The CEO of the Cultural Alliance, Patricia Wilson-Aden, says that's not how it's done in other cities.
San Francisco, Portland, Denver, Milwaukee. Communities have come together and said, arts and culture is worth investment. So there are models across the country for that.
In San Francisco, for example, its grants for the arts program is funded out of the city's hotel tax. In 2021, it distributed $14 million. Portland, Oregon has a simple arts tax of $35 that every adult over the poverty line must pay every year. Denver has a unique system put in place by the state of Colorado, which created a scientific and cultural facilities district in the Denver metro area involving seven surrounding counties. Funded by a 0.1% sales tax, the SCFD typically distributes more than $60 million.
I mean, that's extraordinary.
That's Gary Stoyer. He's the head of a Denver arts philanthropy called the Bonfils Stanton Foundation.
I was talking to somebody from the NEA who was in town the other day, and they had no idea that, in effect, Denver Metro is getting almost half the amount of money that the entire country gets through the National Endowment for the Arts.
Stoyer used to be deeply embedded in the Philadelphia cultural sector as the head of the city's Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy under former mayor Michael Nutter. He says it's crucial that there be a dedicated funding stream for the arts in Philadelphia, even more so than Denver, because Philly has much older, more entrenched, and more costly cultural institutions. He said that because there's, quote, a lot of mouths to feed, funding tends to be distributed inequitably. A city can do more than fund the arts. It can incorporate artists into solving municipal problems. Take Fargo, North Dakota, a very flat city at the confluence of six rivers, which makes it prone to flooding. Fargo combats flooding with 20 stormwater retaining pools scattered around the city, each ranging from 2 to 20 acres large. One of the largest is at Rabanus Park on the west side of Fargo. When the city has heavy rain or snowmelt, water fills 18 acres of the park to about 13 feet deep, where it's held until the threat of flooding recedes. When it's not flooding, it's dry. But no one goes there.
Many people didn't even register that this is a space that they could use when it's dry, you know, because it's kind of flat, and so your eye just kind of skips over it.
That's Fargo planning director Nicole Crutchfield. In 2010, she started working with an artist named Jackie Bruckner to turn the flood basin into a public amenity. Bruckner spent almost 5 years shepherding the surrounding neighbors, many of whom are immigrants living in apartments with little to no outdoor space, through a process of imagining their ideal park landscape with trails, water features, a performance space, an event space, and interactive sculpture. Bruckner also had to navigate a bureaucracy of city departments and engineers who could be wary of this ambiguous creative process. Unfortunately, Bruckner did not see the end result. She died of cancer in 2015, before the Fargo project could be completed. Crutchfield said the project had a lasting impact on City Hall, as staff came away with a deeper connection to the communities they serve.
You know, I would have these kind of like moments of inspiration. I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I became a landscape architect. This is why I became a city planner. This is why I work for the community, right? You know, this is why.
Over the last several years, many cities have created artist-in-residency programs, such as Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Austin, Nashville. One that stands out to Jane Golden, the head of Mural Arts Philadelphia, is Minneapolis.
I mean, Minneapolis-St. Paul has an artist-in-residency program where artists are embedded into departments like L&I or the Streets Department, and they're at the table solving really serious problems.
The program is called Creative City Making, where artists are typically used to help the city better engage with communities around civic projects. Here's an example. Several years ago, two artists were hired to work in regulatory services, where they discovered housing inspectors were burning out because their work could generate animosity with building tenants. They also saw that a lot of inspectors were not able to appreciate the disparities faced by communities of color who make up a majority of those tenants. So instead of working with the tenants, the artists first focused on the inspectors, guiding them through a theater form called Theater of the Oppressed, designed to build empathy between audiences and performers, usually towards social justice. The artists wanted to start by changing how the department functioned. Golden said bringing that kind of commitment to Philadelphia would require the enthusiasm of a new mayor.
Where you are in city government really matters. I think if the mayor has your back, it's a big difference. It can be life-changing, actually, in how you do business.
Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.